morning. Okay, as Ben mentioned just now about yesterday during the deacon board or before the deacon board, I share something as new is happening. We praise the Lord because our church at 10 o'clock we have English service, and then 11:15 we have Chinese service. If you know that during the school years we have Chinese students, especially from Bennington, the high schoolers, high school students come to join us, and then when they come, when the school starts, basically we have not enough room here, so we need to use the library there as a, as an overflow, which is a good sign. But the thing is, most of the Bennington students, they are here requested by the school, so that they need to come to church, and most of them, they don't have any idea about what church is or what is Christianity. And some of them, they would like to know more about, you know, what, you know, we believe in, but many of them, they don't. And as pastor, it's very difficult to preach a message, you know, to them at the same time to the Christian. It's very difficult. So last year, we, as a church, we already talked about how we can help them so that they can get the most of what we are going to, you know, we want to share with them. So, but last year we couldn't do it because this is a new ministry, in a sense that if we want them to come a church, and then it's the same time as the Chinese worship, and then if we start another meeting for them, then we need someone to commit. So last year we couldn't find anyone can commit long term, help once or twice is okay. But until this year July, someone came to me saying that he and his wife plus some other people would like to commit. So we take it very seriously, so we talk, you know, pray, and you know, just see what is the possibility, and then I propose it to the board, you know, a couple of weeks ago to the board. And then yesterday morning I shared the vision, and then afterward in a board meeting we decide go ahead. So this is the plan. Next Sunday we will have the team. They are going to lead another so-called service. I don't call it worship because most of them are not Christian, so I don't know how they worship God if they don't know God. But anyway, the team will come and present themselves and their vision and ask for prayer. So next week is September 16th, they are going to present it, and the next service will start on the 23rd. So in 2 weeks we are going to have all the Bennington students, 11:15 they are going to meet at the copier machine room. This is for the beginning. If we need more place, then we will see how can we do about it. Yeah, so hopefully by doing that we can reach them and help them to understand the salvation of Jesus Christ. We pray that all of them will come to know the Lord. So this is an exciting thing. But on the other hand, we will try to pack this place for the Chinese congregation. Because the Bennington students, they have around 20 to 22 with a team around 5 people. So we are talking about in between 25 to 30 people not joining us here. They are over in the copier machine room. So if you need to do anything like copying something after 11, 10, sorry, probably cannot walk into that room for now. So we'll try to work out the detail. But this is an exciting thing. But as you know, this is you know, students. So when the school off, probably we don't have that meeting for a month or two, or during the summer, we don't know. So let's pray about it, and then this is something is very excited. I would like to share with you because this the last weekend of this month will be our church 18th annual mission conference. That means we have 17 years in the past, and this is the 18th. So I would like to just, you know, share with you all more about mission. Our church is quite mission-minded, most of us. And then I would like to share and encourage again. This is a very important thing. So the Bennington Student Ministry is one of the part of the mission also, because when they graduate from high school, and they will be everywhere. And then if they are good Christian, and they can, you know, serve in different schools and reaching out to their friends, to their classmates, that will be wonderful. And then we are not only talking about Bennington School students. We are talking about EPI students. Some of EPI students, they come here, they learn English before they can get into a school, and they are, some of them are high schoolers, some of them are college level. And then we do have a college level in USC. Some of them, they did come to our church once or twice, but they disappear and never come back, because culturally speaking, we don't have their language. Even we speak Mandarin, they understand Mandarin, but you know, they don't really understand what we are saying or what we are doing. Even our student fellowship, they cannot join the student fellowship because of the gap. Just, you know, four or five years difference. They feel so different, you know, when they go to the student fellowship. Most of them are graduate school students. So this is the area that we have been praying for some years already. And then finally God opened the door, and then we are going to start it in 2 weeks. So praise the Lord. Okay. So this morning I would like to share with you about something. You see, sometimes I talk with friends, and when I say friends, mainly pastors or church leaders, I have a feeling like what the teaching is in the church from the Bible. What are they learning from the Bible school? Because that frightened me a little bit. In a sense, like one very successful pastor, and he told me not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, he said, "I'm not sure why mission is just not part of my ministry. I just cannot think of how can I be part of the missions, like global missions or supporting missionaries. I'm not sure exactly what happened, because if we are serious about what God said in the Bible, there is no excuse for any pastor, church leaders to overlook the mission is actually a commission. It's not a matter of choice. You want or you don't want, or you like it or you don't like it. Or my personality is more mission-minded because I'm a wild duck, so I can fly everywhere. Or I'm more like a beaver. I stay and then I just take care of my round circle. This is, you know, we need to be God-minded, servant. We need to be a God-centered, God-centered church. So this is very important. That's why this morning I just bring you a very simple message, but I can never, you know, just feel like I already preach it or, you know, mention about it clear enough. So first, I would like us to read a few verses from Revelation. Okay, Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. Can we read it together? "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and languages, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." Okay, so verse 11, yeah, you know, there is one phrase there, is that those people standing in front of the throne and the Lamb, they are worshipping God. They are worshipping God. So every time when I ask the question, why God create you and me, basically the reason is we can worship Him, we can glorify Him, we can enjoy Him. You know, we have a loving God. So that's so important. So just imagine, my topic this morning is be a vision-driven church. We can have different reasons can driven the church, but vision-driven is one of the main things as a church when we exist, we need to consider it very seriously. Be a vision-driven church, that means we need to see something that God wants us to see. And here I bring you a vision from Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. What do you see that decides how are you going to live your life? What do you see that will decide how this church will go forward in terms of ministry, in terms of our strategy, in terms of our goal, our mission? So brothers and sisters, this is very important. Be a vision-driven church. From Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, what do we see? What do we see? Okay, in the Bible, Apostle John saying that I looked and there before me was a great multitude, a lot of people. When do you see a lot of people? Okay, Pastor Tom and Greg have been in New York, a lot of people on the street, or any event, a lot of people. You go to the, you know, those underground, those transportation system, a lot of people just standing. You know, a month ago I was in Hong Kong, there's a lot of people. I don't want to cross the road and then I end up on the other side. I just don't understand what happened. So many people are just squeezed me, and then I want to turn this way and everybody go this way, so end up I was on the other side. But a lot of people. But when we say a lot of people, that sometimes we lost the vision. Because a lot of people, who cares? No one knows anyone. No one has time to say hi to you. So a lot of people. We need to put faces on those a lot of people. Then we start seeing something. Otherwise, we don't see. Otherwise, we don't see. For example, put your own face on. Okay? When John looked and then saw there were a lot of people and great multitude, the first question to you and me is, are you there? Are you there? Am I there? I'll ask myself. Of course, I say yes, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there in front of the throne, in front of the land. Because those people are changed people. Those people are, you know, those people realize we are sinners, we need the Lord, and we accept Jesus Christ. So we are Christians, so definitely we'll be there. Definitely we'll be there. But since there are a lot of people, let's turn to your right and to your left. Do you recognize anyone there? I mean, not here. Here you recognize everybody. But one day when we are over there, there are multitudes of people, billions of people there. You know, our congregation may just, you know, kind of mix up with the multitude, the great multitude, and then we probably don't see many people that we know. So what happened? What happened? When we see that a lot of people, all are Christians, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, standing before the throne and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure. You will be surprised to see someone. You thought, wow, why you are here? Why you are here? Last time I know you, you were in a prison. Why are you here? Someone reached out to the prisoner, and the prisoner got a chance to hear about Jesus Christ, and they are saved, and that's why he or she is here. We need to put faces on all those, each face, there is a story behind. There is a story behind, and the story, it doesn't just happen without reason. The story happens because someone shared the good news with them. I remember when I was so young, I was so afraid of my younger brother. Hot temper. Okay, how do you describe hot temper? He usually go to the kitchen and bring out the biggest knife and chase after my parents. I never imagined there is someone, you know, 7 years old, 8 years old can do that. But I tell you, when we are in this kind of situation, staying in front of the throne, my brother is there. He is burning for the Lord now. So every time I ask him, what changed you? He just smiled. What changed you? I stayed with him in the same room for more than 10 years. I'm scared of him. You know? His temper is just unimaginable. And he likes electricity. And then he has all the wires underneath his bed and then on the bed, you know, hanging everywhere. So I then not to go closer to his bed. Of course, he works something related to electricity now. But anyway, I just ask, why he became a Christian? Why? What changed him? The first year when you arrived in Canada, in his first, you know, freshman year in the university, someone approached him. A pastor called Paul Steele approached him. And this pastor just passed away 2 years ago. And this pastor was my classmate, and schoolmate in the seminary. Someone approached him. So when we say, we look at this multitude, great multitude, it doesn't just happen without reason. But the question is, do you have anything to do with this? Do you have anything to do because your testimony, because of your prayer, because of your love, you just share about Jesus Christ, you hand out a Bible or you hand out a tract so that people know about Jesus through you? Do we have anything to do about it? When I read this, I cross my Bible and I cross my eye and I start seeing the vision and ask myself, what if? What if God asked me, is there anyone here because of you and they are here? I'm afraid because I'm not a very good evangelist. I share the gospel, but not many people came to the Lord because of me. I'm afraid. You know, when I went to Bible seminary, I just asked myself, how many people I led to the Lord? I count and count. I say, God, you know, hopefully you don't mind. You know, the number is so low. I don't count. I don't remember anybody standing in front. I mean, when I was in Bible seminary, I don't remember anybody, you know, standing in front and said it because of this person shared with me so that I'm a Christian now. I didn't hear any. I can't remember anyone. That doesn't mean that I don't pray for people. That doesn't mean that I don't share the good news. But I'm not gifted. So I'm so afraid. So I'm afraid one day when I stand in front of the throne and the Lamb, and the God say, who is here because of you? I don't know how to answer. Probably I will be very happy because of the great multitude. So those they know me, they are not around me. So I'm a little bit safe because no one knows me. But in front of the Lord, He knows everything. So what are we talking about here? I'm talking about when we have billions of people in staying in front of the Lord. That is because of you and me. Everybody will work together to share the good news of Jesus Christ with whoever. Pray for them. Do whatever we can so that a lot of people will know Jesus through you and me. And one day, when the day happens, when the throne, when all the Christians come and stand in front of the throne, and you and me, we say to God saying that, we try our best. So this is so important. This is so important. Okay, all the churches say, well, we did that. I mean, we are doing that. You know, we have our evangelistic meeting. We have inviting friends to the church. You know, we have different fellowships. We reach out to different group of people or different age of people, and then we invite them to church. So we are all doing that. We are all reaching out. We are all evangelizing. But look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. When I say a vision, we need to come back to the biblical teaching about the blueprint. Blueprint is a very, you know, structure and, you know, and showing us direction. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? So just look at this blueprint and look at all the churches. How many churches are doing what the Bible says? I'm afraid a lot of churches, we are more us, or, you know, we human, we want what? More than what God wants. Let me explain this. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. A lot of people are very familiar with this verse. Okay, let's read it together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, let me explain. When you look at the history, church history, early church history, that means when we look at Book of Acts, what happened? You know, and this is a two series of preaching. So in the Chinese session, I'll preach the second part next week. But anyway, I try to make it clear to today here. You know those early days missiologists. When I say missiologists, that means they are teaching missions, war missions, mission, biblical missions. Okay, they use E1, E2, E3, E4, or they use M1, M2, M3, M4. I mean, they use different way to express this verse. Okay, now let me explain to you. E1. That means Jerusalem. E2, that means Judea. E3, that means Samaria. E4, that means ends to the earth. Okay, if you can, you go home and you draw a church building. Okay, a cross on top and a roof, and then two walls. You cannot put four walls in a diagram drawing. Okay, just put two walls and a door. E1, Jerusalem. Whatever we do is for Jerusalem. Whatever we do is for our own church. Whatever we do is for our own people. We invite our own people. We do everything in order that our church grow. So we bring people into our door, into the forward. So E1, the arrows, no matter how we do it, we bring people into the church. This is exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2 to almost chapter 7, end of chapter 7. This is exactly what happened. And God is not happy with that. Why? Because Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, then there is a direction the Holy Spirit is leading the church to go. And the direction is Jerusalem, E1. That means we need to do our best to bring people into the church. So one direction, one arrow bringing people into the church. Three arrows request us to go out. Request us as a church to go out. What do we mean by go out? Okay, Judea is the second E. Judea. After Jerusalem, we bring everybody into the church. Judea, that means we ask people, we train people, we, you know, prepare people to go out. Go out to where? Judea, in the sense of geographical, you know, perspective, is like, you know, South Carolina to us. So our church try our best, do a little bit here and there, We help the church in Florence. We help the church in Augusta. We help the church in Charleston, and occasionally Greenville, occasionally Savannah. They are Judea. They are nearby, within 2 hours drive, 3 hours drive. Our church is doing that. So we send people out. You see, this is the biblical way of doing church. What do we mean by church? Of course, from the human perspective, we will say, no, we can't do it because we are not as strong as another church. Or we are not strong enough financially, manpower, everything, we are not strong enough. But when is the time that we feel like we are strong enough? Never. Some churches already 100 years, they still say that, give us some more time. We want to do it, but not now. I say, when? 1 century already. So, a lot of people decide, what are we going to do based on what we are or what we have, instead of trusting the Lord, and because God says so, let's plan and do it. So, when we talk about Jerusalem, a lot of churches are very familiar. How are we going to do it? But when we talk about Judea, and then a lot of churches feel like, wow, that's great if you can do something. But when we talk about Samaria, that is cross culture. That is geographically, you need to go a little bit further, far away. And then when we talk about ends of the earth, that is even farther away. Who wants to do that? Who wants to do that? You see, God laid out a blueprint for the church. 1/4 bringing people into the church. 3/4 sending people out. Do we have a good reason we are here today and not going out? Sometimes I'm afraid we run church according to what we think is the best. But we need to come back to the Lord and say, God, what do you say? Look at the blueprint, simple, straightforward, from Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. This is the way of doing it. If we do that from the beginning, this world won't be the same. During Jesus' time, even they haven't had the first church. There has much less non-Christian than today. We have a lot of non-Christian. I don't know if there is any other ways to do it. But all the churches, we need to realize that our church, doesn't matter how small, how big we are, or how strong or how weak we feel, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit only leads us towards a direction that only one arrow is coming inside the church and 3 arrows going out from the church. This is the blueprint that the Bible lays out for us as a church. So this is very important. This is very important. So brothers and sisters, I'm very glad that we have a short-term mission youth or the Chinese side. We go out. You never know what you achieve. You never know what is the meaning of that. Only God knows. When we obey, when we try to do something, we don't look at the result immediately because sometimes we don't know. Year 93, our family did one thing we never know at the first, when we were in Africa. So Emily, my wife, she said, okay, Christmas time, let me make some biscuits, and then you can send it to some important people in the town. We were in the Sahara Desert at the age there, and then so she made biscuits. And then I can't remember, maybe our children Ruth or Job or David put on the decoration, like different color of icing, whatever. And then after that, I brought a few, one to the governor of our area. It is very small town. He is an Arab man. Okay, I brought the gift to him with a New Testament. And then because he has so many visitors, so I just greet him, I hand it over to him, and then I left. We became friends, but very soon I lost this friend because the president was assassinated, and he was killed at the same time. So it happened, you know, not very long after that. But anyway, that's not my story. My story is I brought a cane of biscuits, you know, just, you know, cane. In Africa, you don't even find cane easily. Okay, bring a cane of biscuit. We rub it with Christmas, you know, those gift paper, and then, you know, and then I have the New Testament in French, so I brought it to the king. And the king is different from the government side. The king is more a traditional, the people group. They have their own structure of power and their you know, political power structure. And the king is the king, okay? It's the highest person. This empire, Kanuri Empire, this Kanuri, the people called Manga people, the people that we work with, 4.5 million population, they have their own empire for 1,000 years. This is very powerful empire in the Trans-Sahara area. So I brought this cane of biscuit and then a Bible, and then I went to the palace. I never been into the palace before. That was my first time. It was a Friday, and then the palace, it was opposite the biggest mosque in the town, because the king should be the head of the mosque also. So Friday, a lot of people coming. So when I arrived at the palace, at the door there are some ministers. We are friends because I learn manga, and I'm the only foreigner in that area learn manga, and probably the only Chinese in the world learn manga language. So I made friends. They were so glad that Chinese can speak our language. So I made friends. When I arrived there, at least two of them stood up and said, you want to see the king? Because I don't know, because they gave something like I have prison for him or whatever. I said yes. So one of them said, come with me. So when I went with him and into the door, I was shocked because two lines of people sitting on the stand, all of his cabinet people, you know, those ministers, you know, senators, a lot of them, congressmen, I'm not sure, you know, what term they use. But anyway, those two rows of people sitting, you know, from in there and all the way across here by the door. And then I saw one row of people kneeling in the center. One by one, they went to the king and then asked for help and then complained something the king will judge, you know. And I was standing there. I was shocked because I never seen this, situation before. And the minister said, come with me. So I walk around the people and then walk all the way with the minister to the king. And the king looked at us, and I greet in manga. You know, I learned the greeting to the highest respect, the language. I greet him. I never, you know, can forget about the way he looked at me. He looked at me, I'm not sure what he was thinking. He was thinking about Chinese in our town, because there is no Chinese. Or because a Chinese speaking our language? I don't know what was going on through his mind. Probably just 1 or 2 seconds, he turned around and speaks something to the other person. My manga language wasn't good enough. I just start learning, so I don't understand what he was saying. But anyway, two men ran into the house and came out with an old sofa. He was the only person sitting on the sofa. And now he asked people to bring out the second sofa. And he asked me to sit down. Wow. of course, I felt, you know, especially I just felt like, wow, this is, you know, what an experience. So I sat down, but I couldn't sit for too long because it's not just for me. I can't sit beside the king. But do you know what? After that, I went to all those manga villages, 113 villages, which is under him, which are under his control. I had no one say anything disrespectful. I showed Jesus' video. No one dare to come to me saying that, no, we are Muslim, you cannot share Jesus' video. No, never. We had missionaries from frontier, they cannot do it. They ask permission and never approve. We have missionaries from witchcraft people, they want to do it, they can't do it. But wherever I want to go, I bring my Honda generator, you know, and then bring the television and bring my Jesus video. I went to different villages. Never once I was stopped. We didn't plan for that. But what am I saying here? I'm saying that, you know, when we respect what God said, and then we want to follow what God's, you know, instruction is, and then we are going into a very different kind of relationship with our Lord, and then we realize that when we obey Him, when the Holy Spirit empower us and open up the door for us, then something happens. Something happens. Do you want to be this kind of person or having this kind of experience with our Lord? He is real. He is true. I want our church to experience of God in a very true way, not just something in our head. We want us, everybody, to realize that God wants to bless us, wants to use us, wants to be near with us. Not just something that someone say, not just something that we can feel emotionally or not. He is true, and He wants to bless us. So, brothers and sisters, praise the Lord that we are a mission-minded church. We are a world-minded church. World, that means we include the whole world in our prayer, in our reign of care. And when we share the good news, we are not only thinking about bringing people into the church, but we also care about those people. Even they cannot come to our church, we reach out to them. Are we willing to obey the blueprint which God put in the Bible for us and be a mission-minded church? Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your very simple, direct word, and yet very important blueprint for the church to be a mission-minded church. And we ask the Lord every time when we look to the great multitude, that is, they are all of them are standing, including us, standing in front of the throne and the Lamb. We want to praise you because we'll be there. And then we will be, you know, we will be there with a lot of other Christians. And even more important, we'll be there with our friends. And those friends that we share the good news with them, and they know about Jesus, they expect Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they will be there also. What a glorious scenery. What is the, you know, wonderful time that we can have there. And we can praise you. We can honor you together. Worship you together. Lord, help us to see. Help us to act. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.